the shame of Philadelphia radio. The time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
Yeah, I hear Dr. Dave. What am I listening to? Post Delay? Is that what's in my headphone? That's what's in my headphone. Post Delay. Unbelievable. Supposed to hear. Yeah. I still hear Post Delay. No. It's still Post Delay. It's still Post Delay. It's still Post Delay. That's what I hear. So what I hear in my headphones is 20 seconds after I speak. Now, why this has to take place while I'm on the air, I don't know. But I will be accused of being insensitive and unpleasant. And actually, my job is to make sure you have a good show. And now all my rhythm's screwed up. Everything I wanted to say is screwed up. And the reason this is hard for many people at the station to understand is because I make it sound easy. Zioli, Dom, we all make it sound easy. That's what we know how to do. So when something goes wrong, it's very confusing. Now, I can't play that jingle again because you already heard it. I don't want to upset you. So. Everything like this, right? It's the Walter Sterling Show.
It's the Walter Sterling Show, every damn night.
It's a Monday. See, that's what it is. It's a Monday. And you hear me speaking? Do you hear me speaking? Hi, look at me. Do you hear me? Do you want to lower the gain on that music so I can talk? My life used to be so simple. I used to wear a Brooks Brothers suit, white shirt, rep tie, wingtip shoes, and my life was easy. My life was PowerPoints. I'd put up a PowerPoint, and if it said 1.73, people thought that that was the truth. When you're making a PowerPoint, if you use decimal points and odd numbers, people think you're telling profound things. If you use an odd number like 20%, no one's going to believe you. That's the joy of being an executive, a media executive in America today. Oh my God. I was going to tell you about heaven, my version of heaven, which I experienced this weekend and I want to share with you, but now I'm nowhere near the mood to talk about heaven. That's just not a possibility. I heard this amazing statement in the news moments ago about Hunter Biden saying that he was an addict, that he wasn't an addict, and was an addict. I hope to God that somebody in that courtroom understands addiction, because a person might stop drinking or might stop doing drugs, but they're still an addict. If they used alcohol or drugs in an addictive way, even though they've stopped, they're still an addict. They still think like an addict, feel like an addict, are spiritually like an addict. Glad they're sober, glad they're clean, but believe me, they're still an addict. It's wedding month. It is the second biggest expense. The average wedding today is close to $100,000. And the two worst weddings I ever went to, one was where I was asked by the groom at the wedding to be his best man. 10 minutes before the ceremony, he said, "Will you be my best man?" I'm like, what? What? Now, this wasn't my kindergarten buddy. This was a guy I knew vaguely at work. I was surprised we were invited to the wedding because I hadn't talked to him in 25 years. Out of nowhere, he invites me to the wedding. And then at the wedding, he says, "Will you be my best man?" That was bad. I am traumatized by the fact that in the month of June, I went to the most miserable wedding that I ever went to. You ready? It's with those relatives. You know who they are. They're with those relatives, the ones who talk a lot, say annoying things, live in a much smaller house than you do. Very sweet, big hearts, but you really only want to see them at weddings, maybe. I get invited to her wedding. It's a cousin of mine, and they're very Catholic. Oh, my God. They're very Catholic, very big on catechism, Sunday school, First Communion, all of it, the whole shebang. It is June. It has to be 90 degrees outside. Now we're in a church for the wedding in June, and it's 95 degrees inside. It's not air conditioned. All right? That's bad enough. Not an air-conditioned church wedding in June, had to be 90 degrees. Gets better. The incense comes out. In a Catholic church, the incense only comes out for a high mass. Attention Catholics, what does a high mass mean? It means forever. It means that ceremony's going to go on forever. And sure enough, the incense came out, and it was a high mass. But that wasn't the end of the horror. The end of the horror was the bride did the Stations of the Cross during her wedding. For those of you who don't know what that is, in every Catholic church, there are places around the church that represent different stops on the rosary beads. And what you're supposed to do is go around the Stations of the Cross. I don't remember how many there are. There are 10 or 12, like 10 or 12 stops around. There are figurines of different saints and the Virgin Mary and flowers. And you're supposed to go to each one and say a prayer on your rosary, kneeling, and you say a prayer to this Station of the Cross. This one. That's an hour. So now I'm at a high mass. It's 95 degrees. And she pulls the Stations of the Cross trick. How dare she? Those were the two most horrible wedding experiences that I had. This is a time for you to vent anonymously. Your relatives won't know. No one knows what you're about to say. I'd like to hear from you. Here's my phone number. Are you ready? Pay very close attention. Did you get that? Would you like to have that information again? Now that I'm hearing myself pre-delay, I'll be able to talk to you on the phone. That is the best thing I get to do. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
Put that on camera. You're a creep.
To do something special for our
a special day?
Our anniversary!
Yeah!
Happy anniversary, oh, babe.
Thank you, honey.
Four signs you're an introvert. One, you need time to recharge after socializing. Two, you often prefer.
I'll tell you a secret about doing a talk show, because I know you're very anxious. Neil Paul, K Karen with the cats, Judy, Keith Mortensen, the house looks great. Keith used to drive an 18-wheeler for United Parcel, and now he's building himself a house in Florida, where we will do a broadcast from. He doesn't know that yet, but there's no point in telling him until it's finished. But here's a secret. Talk show hosts talk to each other about what do they call about. And when a host presents a subject for you to pick up the phone and talk about, we don't know what's going to get you to call. So we talk to each other. What did you get calls on? What did you get calls on? And there are some things that sometimes you can't imagine anybody would call on, and you get 10 lines filled. And other things that should be a slam dunk, you don't get a call. And it's weird. There's no pattern to it. There's one thing that I can do that I can absolutely pack the phone lines. If I put on a numerologist, I will get calls. I will have no listeners, but I will have 10 calls for sure. Now, just now, I'm seeing that I have a call. Now, that call's been there for a minute and 15 seconds. Why didn't I see that? Why wasn't I shown that till just now? It's very bizarre. Johnny, welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night at 855-839-1210. Hi, Johnny.
Hello, Walter. Great to talk with you.
Johnny, it's an honor, isn't it?
I enjoy your show on the way into work every night.
Where do you work?
In a food store, placing items on the shelves.
An important job. You're on the second shift or the third shift?
Third, 10 at night to 6 in the morning.
How long have you done that?
8 years now. Before that, I worked in the Atlantic City casinos, mostly overnight shift also.
You're a very valuable listener, because my dream in life is to be like morning drive for people who work the third shift, like you. Do you enjoy do you enjoy your hours?
Yes, I do.
And what is the hardest thing for you working the third shift?
Sometimes waking up and going into work later on in the week after a couple of nights of it. But I usually find the strength to pull myself up and get in there.
Do you get an overnight differential? Are you paid more than the day people?
Yes, $1.50 extra an hour.
Good. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Johnny, right. Do you want to correct me about the Stations of the Cross?
Well, not necessarily correct, only to say that there's 14 of them in a Catholic church. They represent various events on Good Friday, from the condemnation of Jesus up to his crucifixion. When I was in supposedly Catholic school in the 80s, I think the liberals at the time tried to introduce a 15th station of the resurrection, but that kind of faded away after a while. You didn't really hear about it ever again. But it's most properly a penitential devotion for Lent. So in the winter and springtime before Easter is when you usually see it. It doesn't properly belong at a wedding.
That's what I thought. Hold on a second, Johnny. I was just explaining that the two worst weddings I ever went to, one was I was asked moments before the wedding to be the best man, which was just weird. But the other was in June when it was 95 degrees in a not air-conditioned church. It was a high mass, and the bride did the Stations of the Cross. Oh, my God. And you're telling me now that wasn't appropriate. It was in June.
Well, not necessarily. I can only imagine that what I've usually heard that happens a lot of times is if the bride or groom's family are large contributors to the parish, they can kind of really get away with just about anything they want as long as it's in the book.
They were large contributors of time to the parish.
Right.
They were mm-hmm. well known within the parish. I doubt if there was much money, but there was.
Right.
They were well known. Hey, Johnny, I am so honored that a third shifter, a midnight misfit, listens to Sterling Every Damn Night. Thanks very much, Johnny. Thanks for calling 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. What I was just talking about was getting phone calls. And there are certain subjects where I'll put them on and I'll think, boom, I'll get tons of calls. The one I know will get tons of calls is if I put on a numerologist. But what would your calls be? You'd say, my number is 8. And then the numerologist would explain about 8. And everybody whose number wasn't 8 would be bored out of their minds and should be. So I don't put on a numerologist. But just now I said, bad weddings you've been to. It's June. Anonymous. I figure that's an easy one, right? That's oh my gosh, I've had to live with this bad wedding for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I figured for sure I'd have 10 lines full. Now, either I'm wrong that that's not a good subject, or I'm a terrible host. What would your guess be? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. You know what an ottoman is, right? The thing you put your foot on in front of a comfy chair.
If you're inclined to recline, when you unwind, visit the Ottoman Empire. The favorite furnishing for fatigued feet is the ottoman. And nobody has more ottomans than the Ottoman Empire in the shoddy merchandise mall.
Let's talk about bad weddings you've been to, weddings that you wish you had never gone to. My phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I have shared with you, young man, you, you're a single guy. These are my social instructions to you about weddings in the month of June. If you're invited as a single man to go to a wedding, you go. Because I imagined, when I was single, when I'd get a wedding invitation, I'd throw them away. I didn't go. I never went to anybody's wedding. Now, there were two reasons. One is I was a jerk. I mean, how rude. Somebody invites you to your wedding. I know this will sound impossible. I didn't fully comprehend what a big deal it was to be invited to somebody's wedding. I didn't. I didn't have an older brother or sister. My parents never dragged the kids to a wedding or a funeral. Those were adult things. I was never indoctrinated in the importance of these things, even though as an American, it's perfectly obvious. What was wrong with me? Oh, I was in radio. All of us in radio have no social skills, no social graces at all. Go to the wedding. You're a single guy, go to the wedding. You will have sex. In Miami, you'll have sexo. Go to the wedding. Every single woman, every unattached single woman at a wedding would like to get married that night and therefore will have sexo with you. Not a conversation, not a debate. And odds are, I mean, we're talking consensual sexo. As long as she wants to do it, you could do it anywhere. You do it in the cloakroom, go out to your car, whichever one of you has a bigger car, go in there. Not a problem. This is why a single man should always go to the wedding. Guaranteed. Horrible weddings you've had. I'd like to talk about that. I'm going to stick with this subject longer than I should. You ready? Here's the number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Amazingly, the management of WPHT, including David Yadgaroff and Greg Stocker, put this show on every night from 9 to midnight. Don't know why, don't care. And then, yes, the Sunday show continues because I'm an idiot. That's available every night on Sunday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. This show, 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Isn't it fantastic? 855-839-1210, 1210-WPHT.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by dumb TikToks.
If you see me pouring water on my head while I'm on live, that means I can't stand my co-host. But if you see me just taking a sip out of the water bottle, that means I may have a slight crush on my co-host. But shh, don't tell them I'm live right now.
I have never seen weather this magnificent. Here's the update. Meteorologist Dr. Dave. I think this is a great subject. I am puzzled by the fact that the phones are not ringing. Normally, I wouldn't share that ugliness with you, but I'm like, wait a minute, what is wrong with this subject? You and I have wasted how many hours, how many times at weddings? And then for our own weddings, how much money have we wasted? The average wedding today is $100,000. That's right, house or wedding. And you go to a wedding and things happen. Terrible things happen. It's the wrong cake. The wrong relative gets unbelievably drunk. The important friend didn't show up. The friend that you hoped wouldn't show up showed up first, kept talking to you. At my wedding, we had a photographer who had a brand new assistant. When you get married and you hire a photographer, do not let them bring a brand new assistant. I don't think this assistant had ever photographed a wedding before. The photographer was great, but he brought an assistant who I don't think had ever been at a wedding, and as a result, didn't know what to do. As a result, the photographer was constantly telling the assistant what to do. It wasn't a symphony between the photographer and the assistant. The poor photographer had to set up the shots, take pictures of us, but also constantly explain to the apprentice what to do. It was never involuntary. He always had to be thinking for two people. And therefore, our wedding pictures were great because it was pictures of my wife, but otherwise the pictures were terrible. There were 200 people at our wedding. On average, there are 200 people at a wedding. Really, that's the number in America, 200 people. And I swear to you, 80% of the photos included pictures of one particular wedding guest. One particular wedding guest was in 80% of the photos. We had 200 people there, but about 80% of the photos were of one particular guest. Worst case, we didn't like her. We liked her husband, her boyfriend, but we didn't like her. And there she was in every darn picture. Meanwhile, a few of the hot shots who we did like and wanted there, I don't know if we got any pictures of them. That was bad. The other thing is we picked the wrong florist. I swear, my wife's bouquet, it looked like cabbage. It was all greens, maybe one purple flower. I don't know what gave her the whack job idea to have purple as her theme. That's the worst color combination for a wedding. I would have said red and white, red and white. But the groom is not allowed to say anything. And if you say anything that does not match her plans that she's had in her head since she was 8, you will be tortured with this for the rest of your life. You will have to hear about it for the rest of your life. Maybe I did that for the rest of your life. Don't alter any of her plans. I didn't say what color I thought the flowers should be. I didn't say what color I thought the wedding cake should be. I wish I had said, no, I don't want white with purple piping. I want white with cherry red piping. Festive, nice. Purple doesn't photograph well. It just doesn't. But those are some of my experiences. The biggest mistake I made with our wedding was this. Gentlemen, don't make this mistake. I changed one key plan. She wanted to have it in a church. All I could think about is being in Center City in a church and then having to go to a very different location with 200 people for the reception. I envisioned getting all these people on buses, hitting traffic. 4 days later, we'd be at the reception. But she wanted it in a church. And now every anniversary, she says, next anniversary, could we get remarried in a church? That was a big mistake I made. Big mistake.
Call Walter 855-839-1210.
855-839-1210. I'd love to talk with you about bad wedding experiences that you've had. You can be helpful by giving advice to others on mistakes. Don't make this mistake at your wedding. Grooms make the mistake of thinking they have something to do with it. Gentlemen, you have nothing to do with the wedding. You're not involved in any way. Your bride's parents don't even have to invite your parents. You realize that? The groom's parents don't have to be invited. That's all up to the wife's parents. All right. I figured I'd give it a shot. My number is 855-839-1210. I love this subject. If you and I were to sit down at dinner or a bar and I'd ask you about weddings, you wouldn't shut up. So I'm really puzzled as to why you're not calling about the weddings. Now, a cool host, a great host, like Dom Giordano, would never say, hey, I'm not getting calls. What's that about? I don't understand. So it's puzzling to me. It is puzzling to me. All right, coming up in just seconds, I will share with you my vision of heaven, my hell with air conditioning, and the amazing thing Donald Trump said about Taylor Swift. All of this and you coming up in seconds on 1210 WPHT.
Sterling Evernight, inspired by Mike Jerick.
He's ruined it for all us guys.
Oh, please.
No, let's just say, he even had the rose petals. He's got this giant ring. He's down on one knee. He's got votive candles in the shape of a heart.
I expect Mike Jerick to endorse this show because when I'm sick or on vacation, I want Mike to do this show. This is what he was meant to do. 855-839-1210, bad wedding experiences. Edward in New York City, welcome to 1210 WPHT.
Hi, Walter. Good evening. Best and worst wedding experiences. My worst one by far was I was a young Marine officer and had gone to a bachelor party the night before, and which started at McSorley's and ended up at the White Horse Tavern. And I couldn't get out of bed the next morning. I was so sick. My parents dressed me and drove me to, my father drove me to the Merchant Marine Academy where I was in the wedding party. I was an usher there. And anyway, my sword came in very handy because I was sitting on it for most of the afternoon trying to, because I was so completely mixed
so
up.
So you had
delusional.
A wicked bad hangover from the bachelor party there. The night before, what was the best wedding?
The best wedding was in St. Patrick's Cathedral, and the young woman sitting next to me turned out her husband had been sick and wasn't there, and she had been a former Miss Fitness America. She had a 24-inch dress from the neckline down to the hemline and 4-inch heels. And when I got up to go to communion, she jumped and grabbed me and just was swooning, saying, oh, you're a Catholic. It's so great. Anyway, walking down the aisle, going out of the cathedral, the paparazzi were all there, and all eyes were on this woman. And a blonde 24-inch dress, the heels, and the whole thing. Anyway, I got to escort her to the party, and we had a lot of fun. I don't know if her husband never showed up. I don't know where he was and what had happened to him. But
did you ever see her again, or did you banish the husband?
No, I never did. I never did, no.
But yes, a single man at a wedding is going to have a good time. Edward, thank you very much for calling. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. If you've ever been on a business trip in the middle of something important, like, for example, I'm on a business trip. I travel a lot for my work, and here I am at 2400 Market Street in Philadelphia on WPHT. And I get a text from my wife. This is the text you don't want. You ready? I get a text from my wife. Let me read it to you so I get it exactly right, because you won't believe it. My wife texts to me, this is all the text says. I can't go to Walmart anymore. What? She says, I can't go to Walmart anymore. When you're away from your significant other and you get random acts of expression, it's very hard to know what to do. Now, she can't go to Walmart anymore. Does that mean that she hates the store and just refuses to go? That's a possibility. Was she arrested lifting something, liberating something at self-checkout? Maybe. Did she get into a fight with the assistant to the assistant manager? Did she hit another car in the parking lot? Was she appalled at everything about Walmart, especially the fact that at her Walmart, your feet do stick to the floor? Because we go to a ghetto Walmart, not a Nirvana Walmart, not a random Walmart. We go to a ghetto Walmart. A ghetto Walmart closes at midnight or 11. It's not 24 hours like yours. It's not a nice Walmart. The feet do stick to the floor. At 11 at night, you will hear babies screaming. All of the exits except one will be locked. They'll only let you out of one. And there'll be no cashiers. You have to self-checkout. That's our Walmart. Half the shelf space is empty. That's the other joy. Half the shelf space is empty at our Walmart. But when you get a text like that out of nowhere from your significant other, I can't go to Walmart again, or you know, there are many variations of it. I won't speak to my mother again. Susan was mean to me. Our neighbors annoy me. And no other explanation. How do you handle that? I have not answered her. I have not said, gee, honey, what happened to Walmart? I haven't answered because it will lead to a dam burst of emotion about Walmart. What can I do about that? I can do nothing about that. Vila Hul has the People of Walmart update for you.
It's People of Walmart on Sterling at night.
Yeehaw!
It's People of Walmart on Sterling at night.
Party night!
I'd spell it at night, spell it at night. I'm sterling at night, still I'm sterling at night. That's the people of Walmart on sterling at night. That's the people of Walmart sterling at night.
So, why don't you look for the report, prepare the show, rehearse the show? Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm out of my freaking mind. We will have the Vila Hul report. That is the fourth time that has happened. I'm not kidding. Fourth time that's happened. You know what I did tonight? Something that I haven't done in years. Years. When I realized that I was listening to myself in my headphones post-delay rather than pre-delay, which means I was hearing everything 20 seconds later, at the last few moments ago, I went into the corporate medicine cabinet and got Excedrin. I haven't taken Excedrin in years because I haven't had a headache in years. But tonight, I had the gift of a headache. It's remarkable, isn't it? You and I are going to the third shift together. I love being on the radio with you on the Schuylkill and that traffic jam, that crappy traffic. And then we get to the place of business on the third shift. And who else is there? Misfits. People who don't fit in. People who really would be miserable during the day. And it's very hard for those people to understand that we don't want to be with them during the day. We are introverts.
Hello?
Hey!
You calling me randomly without notice right now sparked a mild panic attack within me, and I did not want to answer.
Okay. Anyway, you know how it's been 3 months since we've seen each other?
Yeah, and it's great, to be honest.
Well, surprise! I'm in front of your place.
This has ruined my day.
Well, don't you want to see me?
I need 5 to 15 business days to even process the thought of company coming over.
Well, I'm here now, so let's go out. Let's go meet other friends. Let's do something.
Why do you hate me?
Oh, come on.
Let me put it this way. I would rather be strung up by my feet and be a human pinata for a gaggle of sugar cracked out 6-year-olds in the entire batting starting lineup for the New York Yankees than socialize right now.
So you want to go out later or something?
Introverts hate random acts of visitation. And one of the things that we love is when plans get canceled. We were supposed to go to this party or this event, but plans got canceled. Normal people, normies, they're sad if plans get canceled. You and I, if plans get canceled, that's a really good day. We're very happy if the plans get canceled.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Hello. My name is Mr. Hand.
855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. You're away from home, and your significant other sends you a random text that sounds vaguely threatening. I'll never go to Walmart again. Or Uncle George was really annoying. Or the painters came. Like, do you ever get a text like that? It just says, the painters came. Or remember, tomorrow is trash day. The worst thing my significant other, oh, my wife. Is that what they're called? My wife? I'm hundreds of miles from home on business, important business. Well, you know, I think it's important. She sends me a text at 9 a.m. saying, Are you going to call the school and tell her she's not coming to school? What? Are you going to call the school and tell them that she's not going to school today? What? You're home with the kid. Why can't you pick up the phone and call the school and say the kid's not coming? Why do I have to, in a hotel room, hundreds of miles from home, have to do that? But those are the kind of texts that I get. I get those texts from my introvert, wacky wife. I look forward to talking to you more about air conditioning, heaven, and Trump talking about Taylor Swift.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio. The time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
It's 10:02 in the great city of Philadelphia. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Meteorologist, Dr. Dave Iser.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at night.
Walmart is one of, actually, it's not just one, it is the one, number one. They sell more stuff than anyone else, most revenue of any company in the world. High school senior left paralyzed. He was a part of this thing that's going on, a social media challenge off the TikTok and stuff. It's called the Senior Assassin. So going out with toy guns and just shooting at random people in a parking lot. Man and daughter walking through the parking lot of Walmart, and these people open fire. Just outside of Wichita, what happens? Dad pulls out his gun and sprays the vehicle with actual real bullets. Senior Assassin, by the way, an elaborate game of tag where participant high school seniors were given a target and are usually asked to record tagging their victims and posting it on social media off school grounds. Here's the dummy, and I hope he recovers. His name? Anakin Ziering. Yeah, like Ian Ziering of 90210 and Anakin, like Anakin Skywalker of Star Wars. In the car with a couple other dudes, Goddard, Kansas. And yeah, the drive-by shooting with gel blasters, not a good idea. Social media trends have led to all sorts of hurt people. I'm sure young Anakin is quite the chap and just got caught up in a social media scheme. Parents, gotta educate him. Gotta educate him real good. You pull out a gun and shoot at people, especially in a place like Kansas, you're likely to take lead back. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at night.
Let's talk about your idea of heaven. Heaven on earth. There, and it's always something humble and surprising. People might imagine, gee, you have to spend a month in Bermuda or a private jet or Rolls Royce. No, no. My idea of heaven is something much simpler. Let me share it with you. I experienced it this Saturday, and it was just, oh my God, it was incredibly great. I come from a long line of family members who sit in their car. It always surprises me when I look around a parking lot how many people are just sitting in their car. When my grandfather used to visit our home, often on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, he'd sit in his car for about a half hour before he'd get out of the car and come to the house. I don't know why he did that, but we'd say, oh, Grandpa's here, and he's sitting in his car. And that was fine. I've come to learn that there are certain psychological issues that some introverts have, that when we get to somebody's home or to the next event, we like to sit in our car for a few minutes, like 10, before we get out and mingle with other people's, because for us, it's exhausting to mingle with other people. But this week, this Saturday, I was on the, I was talking to Gary Arnell, talk show host Gary Arnell, who for some, I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he physically does it. He hosts a show on Saturday that lasts for 60 seconds. How he manages that show, I don't know. I'm amazed. But anyway, I'm on the phone with Gary, and Gary says to me, where are you? And I said, Gary, I am in heaven. Where is that, Walter? And he said, I said, I'm sitting in my car with the door shut, the air conditioner on super cool, and I'm in the parking lot of a Wawa in Yardley, Pennsylvania. The sun is coming in. I'm surrounded by 150-year-old buildings that are beautifully aging, and I'm in a Wawa parking lot. What does that mean? It meant that every single thing that I could ever imagine needing was two or three steps away. I could get every single food, publication, newspaper that I could ever want in that Wawa in Yardley, Pennsylvania. What was next to me? Tasty cake crimpets with the butterscotch icing, which are hard to find. Very easy to find the vanilla icing, but very hard to find the butterscotch crimpets. But I found them. And Tandy cakes, peanut butter Tandy cakes. And I also had a couple packs of Taylor ham that I will bring home to my adoring children. I'm reading the New York Post, the Daily News, the Inquirer, and I'm as comfortable as could be. 50 degrees, no one's going to bother me. And nobody knew where I was. I think a lot of it for an introvert is that we get to go to places where nobody knows where we are. That's part of how we recharge. People have said to me and other introverts, don't you feel lonely? Don't you ever feel lonely? And I'm like, no, I've actually never had the sensation of loneliness in my life because I refuel when I'm alone.
Four signs you're an introvert. One, you need time to recharge after socializing. Two, you often prefer quieter environments. Three, you're often told you're a good listener. Four, you start to shut down after you've been active or socializing for too long.
I shut down, I don't want to socialize, I want to leave the party after about an hour and 10 minutes. It's very difficult for extroverts to understand that. And then because of what I do for a living, it's hard to believe it. But I promise you, every single person I've ever known who makes a living on the radio is an introvert. How can that be? They're talking to millions of people. Yeah, on a good night. But we have no clue of that. 99% of the time when you hear somebody on the radio, they're there alone. No, they're there alone. Even all news stations like KYW, late at night, that news anchor is in that newsroom, in that station, in the building, alone. And it's the best card trick. Because we're on the radio, which appears to be a very social act, people think we're extroverts. People think we're party people. No. Everybody I know on the radio can barely speak when they're off the air. They don't want to talk to anybody else when they're off the air. And they dress horribly. I don't know where they get the clothes from the Kmart bargain bin, especially since Kmarts are pretty much been shut down. But they all found the Kmart bargain bin. They all have 42-inch waists, and they all insist on buying 40-inch pants. It's not a good look. That's been my experience. That's who you and I are. I am in heaven when I'm alone in my car with the air conditioner as cold as I can make it, with the tabloid newspapers, Tandy cakes, Tasty cakes, and nobody knows where I am. How do you feel about that? My number is 855-839-1210. You and I are misfits. We don't fit in. And that's why I started the Midnight Misfit Club on Sterling on Sundays. If you go to my website, which is Walter Sterling Show, Walter Sterling Show, you can click Midnight Misfits and you can download a decoder card, and I will give misfits a secret message on a regular basis that you can only decode with the decoder card. It's free. You can download it now, but you have to pay attention. It spells out very specifically as a misfit what you have to do. What are you required to do? What are the expectations for being a misfit and introvert?
Well, I don't think you understand. I want to date you. I want to hang out and eat junk food and watch bad movies and just open myself up to you emotionally, physically, all of that. But I also want you to leave me
all
alone.
All right. Good evening. Walter M. Sterling, Sterling every damn night, 855-839-1210. Tom, welcome to Sterling every damn night. Hi.
Well, thank you. Thank you for picking me up. Hey, I just want to say I am the king of the Irish goodbyes at parties.
Now, I know what that is. I think in fairness to Italians, you might want to spell out what an Irish goodbye is.
That means you walk out the door without saying goodbye. You say hello on the way in, and you walk out the door on the way out without saying goodbye.
You do that every time.
Just about every time. My wife loves to talk, and we have it down to a science. I make sure she has a ride home. We go to a party. I have one beer.
Yes.
I go for the second beer. I walk out the door. Normally, the beer's out on the patio. I walk out, walk to my car. I leave.
They don't notice, do they?
They do not. They do not.
What I've explained is that when you go to a party, all you're obligated to do is early on find the host, shake their hand, tell them that the food is great, what a lovely crowd, and you're done. You can leave at any point after that, but you must shake the hand of the host, then you're covered. Does that make sense, Tom?
That is exactly it. And the best was when my kids were young, I used to use them as an excuse. I had to go home and check on them. I never went back. The only thing I do is I make sure my wife has a ride home.
Yeah, and at the time, your kids were 27 and 28, so that was a good trick, Tom. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for listening to the show, Tom, and thanks for calling in at 855-839-1210. You and I don't fit in. That's why you're listening to the radio right now. This is not a normal time to be listening to the radio. This is a normal time to be watching bad TV. But as we leave the second shift, or we start to go to the third shift, finally, live in Philadelphia is a radio show. And I promise you something, other than WIP and KYW, and maybe that other horrible sports talk station, I don't know who owns that or what that is, there's nothing else live. You listen to a music station right now, you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear somebody recorded whatever they're recording and got drunk at Ruby Tuesdays last Thursday. They're probably still at Ruby Tuesdays. And that's not radio to me. This is radio when you and I get to talk. The experience and life of an introvert. We get to hang out in our cars alone. It's a very hard thing for normies to understand, but you understand. 855-839-1210. I listen to songs in the way that cool people, music discovery people, do not want to know about. There's a function on Apple iTunes that was introduced that everybody said, oh, that's so cool. It's such a cool thing. It was Shuffle, where it would take, you know, the 40 songs that you like, the 400 songs, the 4,000 songs you like, and randomly shuffle them. And everybody thought that was very cool because it would give music exposure. There are people who believe there's a moral imperative to listening to new music, that you must listen to new music. It's important for it's not important for anybody. What's important is that you enjoy what you listen to. And therefore, what Apple is endlessly shocked about, and the Spotify arrogant a-holes are endlessly, I have to tell you about my visit to Spotify. I was like, okay, they will never make a dime. In my opinion, they can't make a dime, but I'll explain that later. The most popular function on Apple iTunes, you will be amazed at this. The most popular function on Apple iTunes is single song repeat. Single song repeat. Remember when you were 14 and you first heard Hanson and you listened to Bop over and over and over again? Yes, I admit I like Hanson, and you like Hanson too, but you have to be very secure to admit that you like Hanson. I've always admitted I liked Hanson. It's interesting. Whenever Hanson posts anything on social media, there'll be 1,000 comments, all from women of a certain age, 38, saying that they were in heaven with Hanson from the age of 9. I listened to songs over and over again for like a week. I'm going to share with you the songs that I play over and over again, and you and I can build a playlist together, the Sterling Midnight Misfit playlist. I want to give you an example of a song I listened to over and over again the past week, and maybe you'll want to put this on your playlist. I'll tell you what it is in just seconds. That is Haim, H-A-I-M, and the song is A Little of Your Love. I love that song. Isn't that great? I listened to it about 300 times this week. Haim, H-A-I-M, they're three sisters, they're not lesbians, and this is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Inspired by Judge Jeanine Pirro.
All right, here we are. It's Wednesday in the studio. All day I thought it was Thursday. What a joy. I have not just today, but Thursday and Friday.
First order of business, how old are you?
I'm about to turn 30 next.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna stop you right there. I'm kind of the Leonardo DiCaprio of lesbians. I get older, they stay 22.
Whew,
saved by the bell. Well, best of luck to you.
Learn to play kazoo at Kazoo U. They'll teach you to play just one day. Playing kazoo is easy to do when you learn at Kazoo U. Kazoo U.
Kazoo U. It's the cool new specialty store that has everyone buzzing. In the shoddy merchandise mall, McFarland.
25 minutes past the hour with Walter M. Sterling live in Philadelphia. Live in Philadelphia.
I'm not going to walk home with any men tonight. I'm going to go hang out with my friends, and then I go home to the cats.
No men allowed.
Men get me in trouble. I'm going to tell you, Nancy. Trouble with a capital T, right?
Taylor Swift. Donald Trump has described Taylor Swift as unusually beautiful, but liberal, noting she probably doesn't like Trump. The former U.S. president and recently he's not a felon yet, boys. He was interviewed by Variety last November for a book about his time hosting The Apprentice. Asked his opinion of Swift, Trump replied, "She's a great star quality. She really does." He continued, "I think she's beautiful, very beautiful. I find her very beautiful. I think she's liberal. She probably doesn't like Trump. I hear she's very talented. I think she's very beautiful. Actually, unusually beautiful.
I'm not going to walk home with any men tonight. I'm going to go hang out with my friends, and then I go home to the cats.
No men allowed.
Men get me in trouble. I gotta tell you, Nancy. Trouble with a capital T, right?
Swift had been rumored to be a private Republican supporter during the 2016 election cycle, but in 2018, she went on to endorse Tennessee Democrat candidates Phil Bredesen for Senate and Jim Cooper for the House of Representatives. She discussed her decision to become politically vocal in the 2020 documentary Miss Americana. I don't want any celebrities to express their political views. I don't care about their political views. Most Americans are like me. Tell me if this doesn't make sense. I vote for the person. If John Kennedy ran today, I'd vote for John Kennedy. Nobody could give a better speech, and he looked great. That's what I want in any candidate. I want you to look great and give a great speech. Nobody. Best gift that you could give your children is make them watch a couple President Kennedy videos, watch him make a speech. That's how you make a speech. He was amazing. And that's how you do a press conference. I'll have to pull out one of those clips of Kennedy doing a press conference. I was stunned when I saw them for the first time. Amazed. He loved press conferences. He enjoyed kidding the reporters, knowing their names, teasing them. He was in charge of those press conferences. That man would never say, oh, the press is after me, the press doesn't like me. Never would say that. John Kennedy would have never said it because he loved them. He loved doing it. And then he did something genius that no president has been smart enough to do since. A couple times a year, he would have a children's press conference on a Saturday afternoon where he'd invite school children into the press room and answer questions from the kids. How charming is that? How smart is that? Great president. I have been struggling all my life with this bizarre phenomena. See if this makes sense. When I'm at home and it's hot, what I do is I make the air conditioning. Are you ready? I don't know if you can handle this. This may be very controversial. I make the air conditioning work. What? I turn it on. And this is very much a demographic thing. If you grew up in the 50s, like my grandparents, if you grew up in the 50s, you view air conditioning very differently than somebody who grows up right now. Because if you grew up in the 50s, your air conditioner was very big, very heavy, very expensive, and the electric bill was insane. Newsflash, air conditioners aren't like that anymore. You could lift an air conditioner, a 5,000, 8,000 BTU air conditioner. You could lift it and install it yourself. Well, they cost a fortune. No, you can get them for $125 at Walmart. Don't buy that one. Buy the next biggest one, the $185 one. Get that one. Put that in the window. That's your air conditioner. I can't tell you how many times I've been in somebody's home who has the money and they either don't turn on the central air or they don't turn on the window air conditioners. Like, what's wrong with you? If it's over 75, you turn on the air conditioner. The biggest crime to me is there are 45% of the schools in Philadelphia do not have air conditioning. That's criminal. That means there are kids in classrooms of 80, 85, 90 degrees, June, August, September. Why? Because these old people imagine it's incredibly expensive. It's not. Every bar in Kensington has air conditioning. The worst bar, the better the air conditioning. I guarantee it. The worse the bar you can think of, the colder that bar is every time. The worse the hotel motel, the better the air conditioning. The cheaper the car, the Chevy Cruze, great air conditioning. Always trouble at a Four Seasons with air conditioning. Always trouble at a Ritz-Carlton with the air conditioning. Worst air conditioning experience I ever had in a hotel. Think about this. Motion detective thermostat. If you weren't moving, the air conditioning went off. Hell. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling, every night, inspired by worthless podcasts.
Hey guys, here's a couple tricks that'll help you when you're growing tomatoes this year.
I'm eating a power bar right now at 10:35 from 1210 WPHT. I am live. Oh my God, I'm live. Here's Velo Hool with Strippers on the Loose.
There was this period of life, probably about 15 years ago, where we got to watch a lot of people from New Jersey who had fake tans and worked out a lot. The guys looked like they were on steroids. The girls were Cupid dolls. And it was a lot of drunkenness and, shall we say, frolicking. Lots of frolicking. Angelina Pavarnik, as she was one of the Jersey Shore girls. She's facing criminal charges for assaulting her fiancé, and legal bills aren't going to pay for themselves. So she's going to be making an appearance at a wonderful strip club. Deja Vu Showgirls. Not in New Jersey. She's going to be making a trip to wonderful Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's a four-hour flight from Freehold, New Jersey, where her criminal incident recently occurred. Second Source exclusively told Page Six that the star's legal issues, which include summonses for simple assault, criminal mischief, obstructing the administration of law, and resisting arrest, Deja Vu's general manager, Holly Johnson, said in a press release that she is thrilled to welcome the Jersey Shore alum. Unfortunately, she's not taking off her clothes. Apparently, she's going to be like a celebrity judge of a stripper contest. No word on whether if you tip her well enough, you get a trip to the champagne room with her. I wouldn't guess you are, but who am I? Apparently, this young woman is a strip club enthusiast. Enthusiast! From the champagne room, this is Velo Hool, Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night.
Remember, for business and for pleasure that will stay with you always, ask for the fastest nonstop services to Europe. See your travel agent or call Pan American, world's most experienced airline.
There was a time when you dressed up to get on an airplane, when you really looked forward to being on an airplane flight. And if you were lucky enough to be in business class or first class, this was the day. This was how you were going to enjoy that day, being on that plane. I was very lucky, and through the 70s and 80s and early 90s, because I accumulated a lot of miles, I was often in first class and business class. I will tell you the first way to be upgraded while you're on the plane. Let's say you're put in coach. Let's say you're in coach. And, gee, it'd be great to be in first class. This is what you do. It usually works. Dress up on the plane. Before you get on the plane, don't wear jeans. Don't look like a slob. Don't wear a jogging outfit. Put on a nice business suit, man or woman. Wear the good shoes. If it's winter, put on the good top coat. When you get on the plane, look the flight attendant in the eye. Say, it's great to be here. I look forward to this flight. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Oh, my God. You will get, if they have an empty seat, they'll come and find you. They'll upgrade you. That's been my experience. But I'm going to take you through this because it's hard to believe. And the reason I'm mentioning it is there is now a prevalent threat to end alcohol on airplanes. The reasons will be things like safety. They don't want drunks. They don't want people being threatening. They don't want people being angry. Well, the only reason people will be angry if they're served alcohol is if there isn't enough room, if the person in front of you or in back of you keeps jamming your seat, if the baby's screaming next to you, if the person next to you has not showered in a long time, or worse, oh my God, if they're debating bringing alcohol or not, there must be a rule against the stinky food from the Middle East. The stinky food that people bring on these planes in the Tupperware, and then they open it up and the whole cabin smells like the stinky food. For some reason, that's okay. But a vape is not okay. But now they're saying we're not going to serve alcohol on the plane. That's a possibility, a distinct possibility. This is how it used to be. Even in coach, you'd get on a plane, especially if it was over 2.5 hours. That was sort of the airline's guide. If it was over 2.5 hours, you'd get on the plane and it was cooled properly. There were no drafts. There were proper air conditioning ducts. I'm not kidding you. You'd sit down. The flight attendant would say, would you like something to read? And there would be a wide array of magazines and multiple newspapers. Would you like this newspaper? I have a different one up front if you'd really like it. And you'd get something to read, and then they'd say, would you like something to drink before we take off? And usually the only thing that they couldn't have is coffee, because we had to brew that once we're in the air. They couldn't give you coffee before. But they'd give you a gin and tonic with 2 bottles of gin, and if the flight attendant liked you, she'd sneak a third to you. She'd stick it in the seat where nobody could see it, but you knew it was there. And you also liked her hand near your thigh. Now, you take off. And the first thing, you're not going to believe this, they'd come around with a hot towel. And you'd wipe yourself off with the hot towel, feel refreshed and better. And then you'd be offered a number of different appetizers. Would you like fresh fruit? Would you like a croissant? We're not talking about Pan Am to Europe. I'm talking about American Airlines to Detroit. Would you like a hot towel? Would you like this? Would you like, oh my God, I'll get you a pillow, sure. And then this is the part that no one believes me, but it's absolutely true. I was on flights where when you got to the door with your carry-on, the flight attendant would take the carry-on. What seat are you in? Take it to your seat, put it in the overhead for you, and then let in the next customer. No, really. Because they knew that was faster than you and I trying to shove our stuff into the overhead bin, which was too small. It was quite something. It was very different. And that wasn't, those weren't real luxurious flights. Those were normal domestic flights. At the end of the flight, if the flight attendant liked me, she would take a pillowcase and put a bottle of unopened red wine or bottle of unopened champagne and smuggle it to me. Here's something for you. Thanks for being a good customer. On the international flights, very important, I'd always bring the flight attendants a gift, a couple boxes of candy, some treats, whatever. It didn't matter what. What mattered was that I acknowledged that they had a hard job and I was not going to be a problem. That was the big thing. I was not going to be your problem. Now, they're threatening to they're threatening to not have alcohol on the plane. That won't go well. They won't allow us to bring on our own alcohol. They say it's because we need to be able to control how much alcohol somebody drinks so we don't have a bunch of drunks on the plane. That's not true. Alcohol affects everybody differently, as you know. You're a 100-pound woman, it's going to hit you in a different way than a 250-pound man. It's just going to work differently in you. It doesn't matter. What they want to be able to do is sell you the alcohol. Huge markups in alcohol. Huge. God help us if they ever say, well, you can't bring any more alcohol on the plane. That will be a very bad day. I'm Walter M. Sterling. What is this? This is a live radio show in Philadelphia. At 10:45 at night, this is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night? inspired by NASA.
Remember when NASA sent a woman to space for only 6 days and they gave her 100 tampons?
Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to explain how I became a weekly contributor to the Sterling on Every Night family. Now, it started in 2018 with the release of my new book, NYPD Through the Looking Glass, Stories from Inside America's Largest Police Department. As a new author, I figured the only way I could get some traction with my book is if I started doing some interviews. So I drafted a cover letter and began mailing them out to podcast hosts. Well, then I came across the email address for the great Walter Sterling. So I sent him an email address. Within a day, I got an email back and it said, "Hey, Sipowitz." Now, that's in reference to Walter's favorite show, NYPD Blue. This isn't a podcast. This is an 800 megahertz nationally syndicated radio show. Send me a copy of your book and we'll talk. Well, that's what I did. I packed up a copy of my book. I mailed it out to Mr. Sterling. And within a week, I heard back. He said, "Love the book. What I'd like you to do is call in this Sunday night and let's talk about the NYPD. And it was a great ride. What I would do is Mr. Sterling would have me call in every now and then on a Sunday night and we would talk about something topical that was going on in New York City and how it affected the New York City Police Department. Then in 2020, COVID hit. Mr. Sterling had another idea. He said, "Vic, this is what I want you to do. Every week, I want you to record a 3-minute story from one of your books or a funny story, something that went on during your time with the New York City Police Department." And that's what I've been doing ever since. And it's been a wild ride doing this. The funny thing is, last Thanksgiving, a guy that I sat next to in the police academy was down in Georgia for the Thanksgiving holidays. Him and his wife are returning home Sunday night. They left about midnight so they wouldn't get stuck in traffic. He says there's nothing on the radio. They're on AM. They're between cities. They're trying to find a radio station. And he hears some guy talking about the New York City Police Department. So he tells his wife, "Turn that up. Turn that louder." And he's listening to the story. He goes, "That story sounds really familiar. I know that voice. That's Vic Ferrari." And his wife goes, "Who?" He goes, "Vic Ferrari." She goes, "You don't know that guy." He goes, "Yes, I do. I sat next to him for 6 months in the police academy." Well, what winds up happening is when they get back from Georgia, he calls me up and he says, "Is that you on the radio?" I said, "Yeah, it sure is." He says, "How did you get that gig?" I says, "I was in the right place at the right time." So for the last 6 years, it's been a wild ride telling these stories and meeting great people. And I'd like to take the opportunity to thank Walter Sterling for giving me this opportunity to make me a member of the Sterling on Every Night family. I'd also like to thank Deshaun Barksdale, Mr. Sterling's studio manager, and of course, the radio engineer, Charles Van Zandt, who does a wonderful job editing my clips and cleaning up my nasal Bronx accent. So for more interesting NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
888-688. No, that's the wrong number. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 from WPHT with Walter Sterling. The other place that I'm in heaven besides a Wawa parking lot is most diners. Today, I had dinner at the Metro Diner in Longhorse. And the Metro Diner in Longhorse, there are three Metro Diners in the Philadelphia area, but this Metro Diner was perfect because I always order the same thing. I'll look at the diner menu. Maybe you're like this too. I look at the diner menu, and the diner is a very specific American phenomena. There are no diners in Spain. You don't go to Spain and say, you know, gazpacho. You don't do that. Not only is it a very specific American phenomena, diners, it's specific to Philadelphia and New Jersey. You go 50 miles west of here into Pennsylvania, you will find nothing but deliverance. You will find people eating possum, raw on the side of the road. There's no restaurants. You go 50 miles west of here, there are no restaurants. There are people eating possum on the side of the road and believing that Deliverance, the movie, is a plan for how to live. Between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, there is nothing. The most dreaded sign in all of the roads in America is "Welcome to the Pennsylvania Wilds" or "Welcome to the Chesapeake Bay Watershed." When I see either of those signs, I know that I am in for 1,000 days of nothing. Or, in the words of my daughters, we hate Pennsylvania. Once you go past the sign that says "Welcome to the Pennsylvania Wilds," all hope lives outside of that. All hope leads there. It's nothing. There are no diners west of here. In some Midwest cities, you'll find things that are open at 5 a.m. and close at 12:30, or big ones open at 5 a.m. and they close at 2 in the afternoon. I have said to the owners of those restaurants, those are not restaurants. Those are hobbies. You close at 2 p.m., you're running a hobby. Today, I ate at the Metro Diner, and it was perfect. I ate there at 5 p.m. The booth was comfortable because I have a body built for booth. My body is built for Brooks Brothers clothes. Classic fit, traditional fit, and booths. She first said, "Do you want to sit at the counter?" I'm like, "No, no, I want to sit in the booth." My body was made for a booth. Now I'm sitting in the booth, and I order, this is what I always order, a well-done omelet with sausage and preferably mozzarella, but they didn't have any mozzarella. She had something I'd never heard of before, which was, I can't even pronounce it. I'd never heard of it before. I'll never hear of it again. Wheat toast with the butter on the toast. Don't give me those stupid, tiny, little, disgusting foil packs with butter. I am not there to spread butter. I am there to eat butter. I'm trying to get more butter into my diet. And then, do you have a fruit cup? Because I don't want those potatoes. Those potatoes will kill me. And you know what? At the Metro Diner today, it was perfect. That omelet. Usually when I say I want it well done, it isn't really. They'll do the outside. They'll cook it too fast. The outside will get cooked, and the inside will still be not cooked. Water, small glass of milk, and I went crazy. I got the dessert. It was a perfect meal for me at the Metro Diner in Longhorn. It was great. That's unique to hear, and I'm in heaven. Whenever I'm in a diner. And then to get everything cooked exactly as I asked, amazing. Absolutely amazing. When I was a kid, we went down to Beach Haven. We went to the shore at Beach Haven. And my experiences at Beach Haven pretty much shaped my hormonal life. My hormones were shaped at Beach Haven. And I will share that with you coming up. This is Sterling Every Night. It's a live radio show at 2400 Market Street in Philadelphia, 1210 WPHT.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio, the time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
All right, good evening. It's 11:02 in Philadelphia. It's a live radio show. My God, there is nothing else live. It must be illegal to have live radio shows, but here I am. I'm Walter M. Sterling. You and I don't fit in. We are misfits going toward the third shift. Good evening. Dr. Dave Iser with our great weather. Are you going to play something now? Or do you want me to talk? You want me to talk? Yeah, well, it would have been good to say 10 seconds, and I know it was me and not you. Let's see. What shall we talk about? All right. I was at a radio convention, which is very rare. There used to be constant radio conventions every hour, but now that radio companies have managed to figure out how to generate no profits, there are very few of them. No one's allowed to go to a radio convention anymore. They're not allowed. But once a year, I go to one called Talkers, and it's hosted by a brilliant broadcaster named Michael Harrison, who should be in the Radio Hall of Fame. But who asked me? And you walk in, and the first thing you noticed is the smell of Rogaine in the air. Rogaine everywhere. And there's Glenn Beck. And there's, my gosh, it's Glenn Beck. And Glenn and I have known each other a long time. Forget about his political views. He does a really good show. He is a good broadcaster. And what was interesting about this convention is that it was the same set of topics for the past 30 years. How do we get away from talking about politics? I have an idea. Why don't you stop talking about politics? And then you will get away from the subject. Well, my whole industry has forgotten that this medium, talk radio, was created by people who never talked about politics. Never. Irv Homer. Think Irv Homer talked about politics? No. Bob Grant? Yes, but only toward the end of his career. Not when he was here. Not when he was at WWDB. We talk about life. I grew up on spoken word radio that talked about life. I believe that if there's water in my basement, that is a much bigger deal than anything that's going to happen in Washington today. If the check engine light is on, it's a much bigger deal than anything that's going to happen today. And if Neil Paul has to get me out of a tow garage because I was towed from Market Street for being 1 inch in the bus zone, well, that's a much bigger deal than anything that's going to happen today. And the fact is that the other reason I never speak about politics is because I was always taught that that was public affairs programming. It got no ratings. And you know what? It doesn't get any ratings. That's the weird thing. That is the weird thing. For an industry obsessed with copying what works, that doesn't work. Yelling at each other about politics isn't going to change anyone's mind. Isn't, you know, if I, no matter what I tell you, it's not going to change anyone's mind. The fact is that most Americans vote for the best person. They don't vote on party lines. They vote for the person they like best, the one who looks the best in clothes, the one who looks best out of clothes, the whole thing. What is this here? Then I noticed that my 21-year-old, my 18-year-old, and my 12-year-old all tend to watch the same type of videos. And it's weird to me. I don't want to sound like an old man. You know, what are they doing watching videos? No, I think it's great they watch videos. I think it's great they're on YouTube and on TikTok. I think that's all wonderful. But what I don't understand is why do they spend so much time watching other people play video games? Do you know that's the number one, two, and three most watched videos on YouTube? It's videos of people playing Minecraft or Sims or Roblox. They watch other people play games that they play. My kids play all of those games, and then they spend hours watching videos of other people playing those games. One of the things that I find hysterical about certain parents, well, you know, we spend a couple hours a day where they can't use social media. And I have a relative, this is not a joke, I have a relative who takes their devices and puts them in a safe. She takes the phones and the iPads and puts them in a safe for a couple hours a day. She forbids them. And she thinks she's managing them. Perhaps you had a parent who said you watch too much TV or that you're on the phone too much. Well, you weren't. That was just the moment in time. When I see parents go into a classroom in an elementary school or a middle school, and I'm surrounded by these parents and they say, oh, it looks exactly the way it did when I was here. That is a bad answer. It shouldn't look anything like the way it was when I was here. It should look completely different, if for no other reason than the cell phone. That changed everything. You know all the statistics about how an iPhone or an Android has more computing power than the original Apollo mission computers had. Yeah, okay, so that's true. And therefore, everything around it should be different. The Zoom learning changed a lot. But not every kid, and certainly not every teacher, was equipped to learn by Zoom. No teacher was trained on how to do that, and no kid was used to it. They didn't know how to adjust to that. But this technology has forced everything to change. And the idiot way to deal with it is to put it in a safe. The idiot way to deal with it is to not deal with it. The correct way to say, well, wait a minute, this is an amazing device. This iPhone, these Android phones are unbelievable what my 12-year-old can learn from it. And instead, what do? Most of these schools have all sorts of draconian rules. You can't bring those into the classroom. No, 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 no. Bring them into the classroom. We found this private school. You won't believe this. I have a 12-year-old who has a few challenges. Smarter than you and me, more beautiful than you and me. But the fact is that she has a few challenges. And one of them is she needs to get up to speed in reading the way other kids her age read, right? Yeah, that's what you want. If nothing else, you want your kid to read. We bring her to this new school, this private school, and we're meeting with all the teachers there. And they say to her, well, what video games do you like? And she says, I really like to play Roblox. She likes to play Roblox most of the time. And she'll invest mommy and daddy's money on Roblox additions. We got a $200 bill from Apple. No, really, we got $200 charge from Apple. More on that in a moment. This teacher at this private school looked at her and said, oh, well, I can teach you how to read with Roblox. That's the right answer. That's what a smart teacher and a smart school system do. They look at the world today and they say, well, let's teach using Roblox. If that's what she's doing, let's do that. Many years ago, a number of smart schools realized that kids were spending so much time with the computers and so much time with comic books. And they said, well, instead of Dick, Jane, and Sally, why don't we have kids learn to read from the comic books? That's the right answer. That's the kind of thinking that's necessary in order to bring our education to where it should be, right? 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. But there are things, nevertheless, in there that are hard for me to understand. Like, I think it's great you watch videos. I think YouTube's fantastic. Twitter is fantastic. X is... It's all fine because this is who a kid is today. This is the world in which they live today. But I still have never gotten a good answer as to why are you watching kids play Roblox online? Why don't you just play Roblox? 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. From WPHT. Down the shore, there's the JB Bakery at Burlington, New Jersey. And their Pride Month baked good at the JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey is sticky buns. Do we love that? I think that's just great.
It's time for the Walter Sterling Show. It's on every damn night, you know. Every damn night, yeah, that's right. It's the Walter Sterling Show. Every damn night.
Beach Haven. When I was a kid, we went down the shore to Beach Haven. And when you went over the causeway to Beach Haven, if you just kept driving straight, you would get into our house at Beach Haven. You'd be in the living room. That's where we stayed. That's where we were. And I loved it. And my family did the same thing. We had a house to ourselves. My wife's family has this wacky plan where they like everybody to stay at the same house, all the families, all the extended members, all the aunts and uncles, all in the same house. And I don't like that. I don't find that restful at all. To me, there's nothing less restful than sharing a house with another family, unless it's sharing the house with three or four families, which is what my wife's family likes to do. When I was a kid, we rented a house at Beach Haven, and then my aunt and uncle, they had a house at Beach Haven, and down the street, there was another aunt and uncle with a house at Beach Haven, and that was really good. We could visit each other when we wanted to. We could have dinner at each other's houses when we wanted to. And if there were days where we just didn't want to see any of them, we didn't have to see any of them. This idea of sharing a house with another family, to me, is the opposite of a vacation. And then if you throw on top of that, that there's some relative in that mix who you hate, it's a minus vacation. It takes away from the, it isn't neutral. It takes away from the vacation experience. I have a brother-in-law who imagines that he can't even begin to see the world the way I see the world. And what he did to me last summer was so insulting to me and my, in front of my kids. It was amazing. And I'll share that story with you coming up in just seconds. It's 11:15 at 12:10 WPHT, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Larry David.
None of your f***ing business. How about that?
When did you start figuring out your sexuality?
Early college, yeah. As old as time. It's classic.
Is it?
It's classic. Is it? Isn't it?
I guess.
I'll go to college and I like, I experimented or whatever.
Well, you play Ava in Hacks. She's bi. She's like very much I'm bi.
Totally.
And because.
Which we tend to kind of do.
You do?
I mean, hard to not. It's such a big part of who we are.
Yeah.
As queers, you know.
It's the
at 12:10 WPHT. I don't understand people who can afford air conditioners, which is now everybody, and who don't use them. I needed to finish this story. I was so upset when I started to think about how 40% of the schools, the public schools in Philadelphia, do not have air conditioning. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But I have a friend who lives in Manhattan who has plenty of money. In their guest room, they have an air conditioner. And then he tells me this nonsense about don't turn it on, because if you turn it on and the other air conditioner in our bedroom is on, the fuse will blow. Okay, nice theory, except that I had been in the room many times when the air conditioner was on and the fuse did not blow. This was a new rule. I suspect it was a rule, a polite way of asking me to not be a guest anymore. That's all I can figure. Because when it's 85 degrees outside at 2 in the morning in Harlem, I need the air conditioner on. I need it for two reasons. I need the white noise so I can I can rest over the sound of gunshots in East Harlem. No exaggeration. There are gunshots all night in East Harlem. Beautiful building. Great couple. I love these two people a lot. A lot of the way I sound on the radio, I learned from him. But he doesn't want me to turn on the air conditioner. Well, now it's 85 degrees out. And there are gunshots going on outside. Can't turn on the air conditioner. What I had to do sometimes when I'd stay there in July is I'd had to go to my car at 2 in the morning, turn on my car to cool down. Then, last week, I was visiting my sister-in-law, who's very rich. You know how rich they are? Dredging rich. What? Yes, they have a pond on their property, and they pay to have it dredged. Like the Curse of Oak Island, they bring in the giant equipment from a different city over the bridge that's about to collapse. And they have to dredge the pond. To dredge the pond is a very expensive thing. Have you ever seen anything like that? The equipment is huge. You have to have permission to take that equipment on the roads of this rural-ish town. You have to have permission to dredge. Where do you put the stuff you dredged? What is the environmental impact of it? And who's going to be paid off in order to do the dredging? That's how rich they are. Oh. And this is my sister-in-law. This is the sister-in-law who would not let us stay in their house when 10 years ago I had a real problem and I needed to find a place quickly for my beautiful little babies to sleep. Well, they wouldn't help me with that. I can't get over that. I still can't get over that. I needed to spend one night at her apartment in Manhattan. Because now it's about $800 a night for an apartment in Manhattan, for a hotel room in Manhattan. Unless you're an immigrant, then you can stay for free with room service and free food, which most of the immigrants throw away. Yeah, they throw away the doggy bags of food just because, you know, they didn't like it. It didn't have enough, Tropical sauce. And I'm in her $10,000 a month apartment on the Upper West Side. And I'm in a room and it's 85 degrees and there's no air conditioner in there. There's no air conditioner in there. And when you're a guest in somebody's house and there are either women or children in that apartment, you can't leave your door open all night. Sheets could come off. It would terrorize children. Horrible. Horrible. There I am, 85 degrees in an apartment. That's $10,000 a month, no air conditioner in that apartment. Now I'm staying at another person's house, and the last two nights here were really hot. Not last night, but the night before and the night before. No breeze, dead as could be, no fan, no air conditioner. It seemed as though I slept late. I didn't sleep late. I didn't sleep till noon. I kept waking up because I was overheating. I almost went and sat in the car to get cool. Air conditioners today at Walmart cost $125 to $185. They are light as could be. They're 5,000 BTUs. They will cool any 8x10 room, 8x12 room. I don't understand how any adult could not have air conditioning today. They've got this thing in their head that it costs a fortune. No, these are energy efficient, these air conditioners now. Or they think it's cost a fortune, or the air conditioner itself will cost a fortune. No, the air conditioner costs less than a dishwasher. $125 to $185 at Walmart. These are puzzles. The other puzzle, we were talking about how my 12-year-old watches Roblox videos and Minecraft videos. Videos of other kids playing these online games. The other thing they do that's weird is my 21-year-old shocked me. She was in no hurry to get her driver's license. The nanosecond that I turned 17, that second, at 16 and a half, I got my permit. That second. And at 17, I had my license. My 21-year-old, if it was up to her, she would have never gotten her license. She'd stalled and delayed. She didn't want to. It's weird. But she was unwilling to learn at all. It's an important life skill. There might be an emergency where you have to drive. Meanwhile, this is a generational phenomenon. there are many 18, 19, 20-year-olds who don't want to learn to drive. That I don't know. And she could never articulate why. It wasn't some nonsense about the environment or not putting exhaust in the environment. Believe me, it was none of that. We're not going to waste our time on that. And the other thing is, with their cell phones, they all use the speaker rather than just talk on it. And again, this might sound like an old guy, you know, complaining about, no, I'm just trying to, I'm trying to understand it. It's not criticism. I'm trying to understand it. I don't understand when I have guests on Sterling Every Damn Night, which is what you're listening to, Walter M. Sterling, Every Damn Night. What I don't understand is when I have guests and they're on the speakerphone on their cell phone. The correct answer is be on a landline if you're going to be on the radio. Don't be on a speakerphone at all. But they'll get on a Bluetooth headset speakerphone. All known distortion, all known flanging, all known feedback will happen if that's the case. All right, those are my old guy complaints for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed them. Coming up, you and I will talk more about the Jersey Shore, trends that are taking place right now. It's a very hot show. And the insanity of speculation about no more alcohol on the airplanes. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by bad TikToks.
You both want my number?
Very much so, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not a homewrecker.
We don't live together.
It's an open relationship.
Also, Patrick has a girlfriend.
I do not. Hey, come hang out with us later. They put you up at the hotel in Flushing, right? We're in room 206.
Want me to come tuck you in?
No. We just keep talking about tennis.
Good night.
Sterling Every Night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with Thea Landon.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime. In a flash, I was behind the piano bench, hovering above Natalie as she remained seated. Hey, she squealed, giggling as I seized her forearm. This is not how this is supposed to work. Too bad. I gave her a gentle squeeze before repeating the motions on her other side. Should have given that some more thought, too, before you all but chained me to the piano and demanded I perform. Unlike me, Natalie put up more of a fight when I tried to raise her arms. Her melodic laughter rang in my ears as she attempted to wriggle out of my grasp. When her efforts failed, she rotated her wrists to reverse our grip. But I almost stumbled into her as she yanked my hands toward the keys. Maybe I'll make you play your excerpt a second time before allowing you to leave, she said. I struggled to gain an advantage, yet my awkward stance made it difficult. You'll have to let me go in order to get the music out or let me reach the piano, and then I could make my escape. Damn it, she muttered, but she didn't release me. You might as well surrender now. I bent down to whisper in her ear. Just give in and play for me. Instead of striking the keys, she leaned back into me and hugged her arms to her chest. Except my hands were still entwined with hers, resulting in a clumsy embrace with my arms draped around her shoulders. I fought to ignore the warmth radiating from her body as she reclined against me, yet I couldn't move. Natalie didn't pull away either. 100 conflicting thoughts flashed through my mind, but I was frozen in place, unsure of what to do or say. Before I could figure out an appropriate response, she rested her cheek along the inside of my elbow and exhaled with a sweet, contented sigh. What is happening? My brain's attempts to sort through the current situation were drowned out by my heart threatening to explode out of my chest. For months, I'd been dreaming of what it would be like to touch her, to hold her. And in the moment, I was afraid to move and disrupt this wonderful version of reality. As much as I would have liked to, We couldn't stay like this forever. But what did she want from me next? I swallowed and tried to breathe evenly in an effort to calm my racing pulse. It didn't work. Without releasing her, I stepped to the side, leaving one arm circled around her waist as I sat next to her on the piano bench. Wide brown eyes gazed at me, captivating me with their dazzling sparkle. I stared back at her in disbelief that she was looking at me in such a way. Hints of pink appeared on her cheeks as she bit her lower lip, yet she didn't draw back. In fact, was she leaning closer? My breath hitched in my throat, and it tilted my head toward hers. When I closed my eyes, her mouth pressed against mine, and the sensation of her soft kiss erased all of my prior fantasies. The world around us vanished as I focused on memorizing how amazing she felt. Her lips parted, tentatively at first, and I welcomed the intoxicating taste of her tongue. She probed into the depths of my mouth, and I countered every frisky swirl of her tongue with one of my own. We breathed in time with each other as we engaged in our explorations. My grip on her waist tightened, and she laid one hand on my chest, above my thudding heart. Her movements grew more frenzied, the electric energy behind the kiss intensifying. I threaded my fingers through her glossy hair to hold her close, needing to experience more of her. Unfortunately, I think I need to stop here for tonight, but you know there's always more. That was an excerpt from my book, Sonata for Springtime, which is available at Amazon. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon.
Real estate developer Ori Feibusch announced the immediate closure of his three OCF coffee house locations. He announced it today. 1 week after OCF workers informed him of their intent to unionize, Feibusch, who met with available staff in person on Monday afternoon, called the shutdown a difficult decision, citing rising costs, reduced sales, and the expiration of leases for a business that he said never made a dime in 13 years. But we pushed forward because we understood the positive impact we were making in our communities and the importance to maintain a level of compensation and benefits that you each deserved. He wrote this email to his staff on Monday today. Let's see, what else did he say? About 45 people who worked at OCF coffee shops, two in South Philadelphia and one in Fairmount. He said that the company would provide workers health, vision, and dental benefits for 3 months, which is pretty damn good, and that some would receive severance. Feibusch said that workers had received $20 to $25 an hour and tips plus benefits, and they wanted to unionize. There are many good things about unions, and there are many not-so-good things about unions. I worked at 30 Rockefeller Plaza, 30 Rock, where Saturday Night Live comes. I worked there for 5 years. There is no building in America that has more unions than 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City. For example, one time we wanted to do a photo shoot with an on-air talent and a sheepdog. He was a kind, gentle soul. And we figured it'd be good to have a photograph of him with a sheepdog, a trained professional sheepdog, beautiful dog. It was brought into 30 Rockefeller Plaza. The trainer walked toward the elevator, the passenger elevator. He was stopped by the passenger elevator guard. The passenger elevator guard says, you will have to go to the freight elevator with the sheepdog. He goes to the freight elevator with the sheepdog, the freight elevator operator, the freight elevator starter, looks at his clipboard and says, oh, you're not on the list today. You're not on the list. You have to be booked for the freight elevator to take you up. Now, where did the freight elevator have to go? It had to go to the second floor. And it was sitting there with nobody in it, nothing to do, not a line of people waiting for the freight elevator. But the freight elevator operator starter was not going to allow the dog on. Therefore, we still had to pay for the sheepdog because the trainer did what he was supposed to do. But then our budget had run out. We had no more money for the sheepdog, and we couldn't do it. Also at 30 Rockefeller Plaza, I had a deck in my office that recorded and played audio. And I could start it to play audio. But if I wanted to record audio, I had to call a NABID engineer to come to my office to push the record button. There are good things about unions and not such good things about unions. 11:46, Sterling every damn night, 1210 WPHT.
Sterling every night, inspired by Mira Zalma.
Since we both like sleep, why don't we just sleep together? Since we both like sleep, why don't we just sleep together?
So I don't think you understand. I want to date you. I want to hang out and eat junk food and watch bad movies and just open myself up to you emotionally, physically, all of that. But I also want you to leave me alone.
Carl Helm, rhythm and blues singer and retired radio show host at WDAS, has died at the age of 83. Carl Helm, longtime rhythm and blues singer, songwriter, retired disc jockey, operations manager, and assistant program director at WDAS Radio, died Saturday, May 18th, of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease at Vitus Hospice in South Philadelphia. He was a great radio guy. Mr. Helm grew up singing in Ardmore and cut his first record, Even Strangers Say Hello, when he was 20, with President Records in 1961. His voice resembled Johnny Mathis and Nat Cole. And he signed with the Canadian American Records in 1962 and recorded Have You Ever Been Lonely, Sweet Lovin', I'm Not That Way, Ring Around My Rosie, and other songs. Carl Helm.
7:53 in Philadelphia on WHAT. My name is Carl Helm. We hope that you are enjoying the show, and we hope that you've enjoyed listening to WHAT all day long. Again, I cannot thank enough Mr. Cody Anderson and his staff and all the wonderful people here that work here at WHAT for inviting me to be a part of this very, 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 very special day.
And it was always special to hear Carl, and a privilege to be on the radio in the same city with him and so many greats. This is, in every industry, there are cities, locations, regardless of their size, regardless of their tenure, that are considered to be the best. If you're in the newspaper industry, you consider Long Island Newsday to often be better than the New York Times. You might consider the Sacramento Bee to be better than the Los Angeles Times, because every industry has pockets of quality and grandeur and superiority. In American radio, Philadelphia has always been viewed as one of the great radio cities.
WFIL, nonstop music.
The best radio always came out of Philadelphia. When I was a kid and I'd listen to New York City radio, Top 40 radio, and I'd listen to Top 40 radio in Philadelphia, it was clearly always better here. It was fantastic here. Much more energy, Cameo Records, all that stuff. Cameo Parkway, oh my God. That's why it's a privilege to be with you. I hope you enjoy this show. This is Sterling every night from 9 to midnight. And the management of WPHT said, you know, we haven't had a local live show on this station since 1923. It's time to put on a local live show again. And that's what this is, a local live show. I have an email address. Every email I get gets answered. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. And then we have an amazing website that lets you join a club. Finally, you can join a club. You can be a Midnight Misfit. Walter Sterling Show. And then you click Midnight Misfit. You'll see a membership card that Neil Paul has, Judy Anderson Paul has, Billy Datz. Hey, Billy Datz, what's the deal with you? And Karen with the cats and Charlie Green and Charlie's handsome son, who I think is finally out of college. My gosh, I feel as though I raised that kid. It's a special group. When I was in trouble a couple weeks ago, I had to get my car out of tow. Because this isn't a morning zoo, because our relationship is unique, I was able to call a listener who I only had met once and said, will you get me out of this tow? And he did in a second. He said, where are you? I'll come get you. All right. That's a very special relationship with a listener. That's a very special relationship you and I have, because I have told you my truth. My truth is that I prefer to be alone. I am an introvert. And the great thing about this moment in history is being an introvert is no longer, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you a team player? No. You see, I am a team player. I need WPHT to do incredibly well. Where you work, you want that business to thrive. You want those kids to learn. You want your colleagues to succeed. But we don't want to hang out. We don't want to be a team player. The one thing that you can say to me that makes me recoil is to stand in front of a room of 20 of my colleagues, 30 of my colleagues, and have the leader say, I believe in team players, as though jumping up and down, being rah-rah, getting there 5 in the morning is somehow better than a great idea at 10. And if you're just starting out, if you just get out of college or high school, you're just starting out in work, here's my advice about when to get to work. Study when your boss gets to work. You get there 5 minutes before, and don't leave until they've left. Because if you get there at 10 and they've been there since 5, and you leave at 6 or 7 at night, they're gone at 5 or 4:30. They don't care if you're there till 6 or 7 at night. They don't see you. Doesn't matter. All that matters is if your boss sees you when they're there. If you're working when they're not there, it doesn't count. Yeah, I was here till 8. Yeah, but he was at the country club. She was at the country club getting sloshed. What a beautiful night. Enjoy this night. The greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
It's Sterling F. Mac. Thank you for listening to the Walter Sterling Show. We do appreciate it so.